Let's open with hymn number 26.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who hast created all things, we thank thee that thou hast given us sound bodies and hast graciously preserved our tongues and other members from the power of the adversary. We beseech thee, grant us thy grace, that we may rightly use our ears and tongues. Help us to hear thy word diligently and devoutly, and with our tongues so to praise and magnify thy grace, that no one shall be offended by our words, but that all may be edified thereby. Through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 12th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 29th chapter of Isaiah, the 18th through the 21st verse. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, the scornful one is consumed, and all who watch for iniquity are cut off. Those who make a man an offender by a word and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and turn aside the just by empty words. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 3rd chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 4th through the 11th verse. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Here ends the epistle lesson. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the 7th chapter of Mark, the 31st through the 37th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately, his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 34. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 7th chapter of Mark, the 31st through the 37th verse. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. And they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have before us in this text one miracle among many which Jesus performed as he ministered to Israel, preaching the kingdom of heaven into people's hearts. You notice that sometimes the miracles of Jesus are noted in the scriptures with just a passing word, such as when Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people." There are other miracles which stand out, such as when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But in this text where Jesus heals a man who was deaf and mute, we have something that also stands out. It was not the man's condition, because that was not so unusual. In those days, as now, people were born unable to hear or talk, or sometimes both. Bodily ailments such as these are always caused by sin, which causes all sorts of diseases and defects. They are also often caused by the devil, who wishes no good to come upon us. But there is something particularly devious about this particular condition of being deaf and mute. That is, it is very difficult to teach and preach God's word to a man who is deaf. And a man who is mute has a difficult time praising God and exercising his faith in confessing his salvation among men. Satan delights in stealing this ability from men to hear and to speak the word of God. And he does it all the time. And he does not just do it when he causes people to become deaf or mute, but wherever he tempts us to doubt God's word, where he incites men's hearts to hate and despise the word of God, when he tempts us to stay up too late on Saturday night or sleep in too long on Sunday morning, so that our tongue is mute, and we do not go to church, and we do not confess our sins, and so that our ears are deaf, and we do not hear the words of absolution from our pastor and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The devil does his greatest work when he keeps God's word away from men, because Satan knows very well that God does not work in this world to convert men's hearts and save men's souls except through the external means of the word of God and the sacraments. It is notable, then, that of all the ailments which Jesus healed, where the Bible simply says in passing that he spoke a word or touched a person or hardly made a gesture at all, in this case, Jesus goes through an elaborate ritual, when in truth he could simply have snapped his fingers or even just directed his power at the man with a thought without any external sign, and so healed him. Only in two other places do we see Jesus doing something similar. Both times when he healed blind men, once in Mark 8 and once in John 9. And so what are we to make of it? That on this occasion Jesus did something different. It is notable that in these special cases it was blindness or deafness which Jesus healed. And these conditions have in common that they cut a man off in one way or another from the external word and sign of God's promise in Christ Jesus,
so that they cannot hear what other men hear or see what other men see. It is certain that Jesus treated this case differently, not because he had to go through this ritual if he was going to be able to heal the man, but he did so to teach him and us how difficult it is to heal someone who is deaf and mute, so that they hear God's word, and so that they confess their sins and receive the gift of saving faith from the Holy Spirit. You see, the world is full of heathen people with perfectly healthy ears and tongues, who are deaf to the word of God, who even though they can hear the sounds of preaching, they do not hear with understanding. Sometimes they hate God's word so much that they gladly persecute anyone who speaks it. And such people are surely deaf, more so than the man whom Jesus healed. And the worst part of this deafness is that they cannot hear the very words which heal them of their spiritual condition. And thus the devil delights in such deafness, and he spends all of his time trying to make everybody deaf to God's word. And he does not have to afflict the ears of men to do it. He has other ways to keep the word of God out of our ears. One very effective method is familiar to our Western world, by drowning out God's word with an unending supply of entertainment and novelty and distraction. And oh, how this strikes close to home. How many distractions do you have in your life that keep you from hearing and reading the word of God? Radio and television and books of every sort and sports and music and news and newspapers and games and movies, there are something for everyone. And all of these things are harmless in themselves. And all of them have their place. God does not demand that we spend all of our time, day and night, doing nothing but reading the Bible or listening to preaching. Yet our flesh and the devil quickly take advantage of this, and they shove the word of God aside entirely. Because our flesh loves to be entertained, but it does not find God's word entertaining at all. And this is no surprise, because consider what God's word says to our flesh. It teaches us that we are born in sin, and that the imagination of our heart is evil even from the moment we're born, so that all of our thoughts and deeds are earning us eternal death, and that unless we repent, we will receive our well-deserved end. No, our old Adam says, none of that negativity. Let's keep it positive. Let's keep it upbeat. Forget about sin and death. That's such a long way off anyway. Life is here and now. We should live it. We should pursue wealth and pleasure and leisure, or whatever it takes to keep us away from God's word. But what a swindle this is. Because what is more positive and exciting and fulfilling than the good news that though we have sinned and gone astray and were nearly in hell, that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to rescue us, and he has laid our sins upon Jesus, and Jesus has paid their cost with his blood, and we are free from the curse and free from the punishment of hell, and God has prepared for us a place in his own house where there are more pleasures and constantly new delights than we can ever fathom. Everything here below, all of our books and movies and radio and television and games and sports and music, are boring and dreary and dead in comparison to what God has in store for us. But the world is deaf to all of this. God's word, whether in its terrible threats or in its marvelous promise, is just background noise and meaningless to them. And where Satan does not succeed in drowning out God's word with entertainment, he has other cards up his sleeves. He offers a counterfeit spiritual experience for anyone who should seek it. In fact, he has a smorgasbord of them, something for everybody. For the severely tempered, he offers Buddhism and Hinduism. For the lighthearted, he has pop New Age psychology. For the serious do-it-yourselfer, he has Islam and Judaism. He even has something for all those Americans and Europeans who like to call themselves Christians. Christless Christianity, so-called, in the form of the emerging church, or that part of the modern evangelical world who use the Bible in every way except to call men to repentance and forgive their sins in Jesus' name. So while God's word continues to be preached in the world, they do not hear it. They do not repent of their sins. They do not believe the gospel. And they think that Jesus must take the back seat and really does not have a place in the life of the Christian after all. No, instead, in all of these ways, they run headlong into hell with their ears full of every crazy theory or philosophy of men, but not with the only word that can save them from their fate. And that is why Jesus takes such great care in healing this man who is deaf and mute. He puts his fingers into the man's ears. He spits and touches the man's tongue. He looks up to heaven and visibly sighs. And finally he says, "Ephatha," an Aramaic word which means "be opened." He wants the man himself and all who saw the miracle to know just how serious a matter it is and how difficult to overcome one who is deaf and mute, who is unable to hear the word of God or to confess it in faith. And in so doing, he wants us to know how much we should treasure the gift of hearing which he has imparted to us. For here among us is Jesus today. He is here because we are gathered together in his name. And though the world is deaf, though they are distracted by countless other words and endless error and false teaching, so that it is a veritable miracle that anybody is ever saved, here we have Jesus opening our ears and causing us to hear the words of eternal life, the word which is able to save us from our sins, from death, and from the devil's power. It truly is a miracle that any man can be so healed today, when so many are indeed deaf and mute and blind to God's word, so that they cannot see and hear with understanding. And that's why Jesus shows us how he chooses to heal men in such a condition. He does not speak to them afar off. He does not just pass by and glance at them or touch them. He goes to them and he takes special note of their condition and of its serious nature. And then he uses visible means, his finger, his spit, and his breath. He places his power in those visible signs, and with them he heals the man. And even so, among us today, it is not enough that Jesus came and suffered and died for our sins. It is not enough that he was raised from the dead. It is not even enough that he caused his word to be written down and placed his spirit in his word. No, even with all of this, men still remain deaf and blind unless someone preaches and teaches God's word into their hearts and applies it to them so that by that power they can hear and hearing receive the gift of faith and by faith be saved. Therefore, God wants his word to be preached and taught everywhere, and his sacraments administered to men so that the devil will be overcome, and so that the ears and eyes of men will be opened to hear and see and confess their sins and believe the gospel. That is why Jesus has not only given us his word and his sacraments, but he's also given us his church and the ministry to apply these gifts to men. Could Jesus work without them? Does he need men to do things for him in order for sinners to have their tongues unloosed so that they might repent? We do not even have to ask such questions, because certainly Jesus can do whatever he wishes whenever he chooses. But as for us, Jesus has left us with these external means, with preaching and teaching and baptism. And with these, he has ordained that we are to go out and use them and open the ears of men so that by his grace, with the use of these means day by day, he rescues countless thousands from the devil's power. Who are we to second guess Jesus when it comes to healing men of their spiritual deafness and blindness? Look at the results. Throughout the generations, every Christian who graces the halls of heaven has been brought to faith by nothing else than the external preaching of the word, by confessing their sins, and by receiving the forgiveness of sins through the spoken word and through the elements of wine and water and bread. how grateful then we should be that God comes to us and opens our ears and looses our tongues. Truly, he has done all things well. For he makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And therefore, let our tongues not be mute, but let us open our lips and proclaim the good news of Jesus to all men. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, the light of thy people and the saving strength of thine anointed, we thank thee for the gift of thy word, in which thou hast given us the glorious revelation of thyself, and of thy grace in thy Son, Jesus Christ, the incarnate word in whom we are made righteous before thee, thoroughly furnished for all good works. Send forth thy word into the world, implanted in hearts of people everywhere, that they may be made wise unto salvation, so that they, being delivered from ungodliness, the power of the devil, and the fear of death, may live to serve and praise thee in righteousness and purity forever. And as thy word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, let it probe like a sharp sword, showing us the evil and the good, that thus examined we may repent of our sins, seek thy mercy in Jesus Christ, and thereby escape thy judgment and condemnation. Let thy word everywhere consume thine enemies like fire, and like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, let it destroy all oppression, tyranny, and every abominable thing. Pour out thy word upon every nation, that their eyes may be opened and their hearts turned from falsehood and error, idolatry and evil works. Open their ears to hear the words of thy truth, that the day may dawn in their souls as light in a dark place, and that the day star of Christ, implanted by thy Spirit, may arise in their hearts. Let thy word shine within our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love, serve one another in kindness, and find increase in joy in this life and that which is to come. Give the Spirit of Christ richly to all who are sick or are suffering from any adversity of body or spirit, and grant that they may discover that he does all things well, turning our afflictions into divine blessings. We pray this in the name of him who gave himself for us, that we might ever live through him, even Jesus our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 38. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness,
who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn number 47. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.